However ruthlessly the killer had used Kathy during the past 6 days, at least she wasn't dead. He didn't kill them until he tired of them. The high-quality photos were not embedded with any smartphone signifiers. They were taken with a camera, but the Bureau lab could not identify the manufacturer. The brand of photographic paper was sold in 49 of the 50 states. No fingerprints. The self-sealing envelopes didn't require the sender to lick the glue line, which eliminated the possibility of finding DNA material from dried saliva. The killer had access to a photographic lab, but it was likely a small in-home hobby setup, untraceable. Months of investigation of commercial labs and photographers had turned up nothing of value.
Are you sure your boy would understand you're killing someone?
Travis is 3, Gary. He's not yet brooding about justifiable homicide.
But you're confident he'll understand when he grows up?
Yes, because Nick and I will teach him how the world really works, not how some people wish it worked. Just like you and Rosalind will teach your daughter. The voice of the GPS assured them that they had arrived at Gossage Farm, and Jane turned right onto the long private drive that led to the house. Overhanging oaks roofed a lane of oiled earth. She switched on the headlights. The trees were only partly dressed in autumn color, still more green than purple-red. None of the first 21 victims had been snatched in Pennsylvania. They had vanished from places in Ohio, New York, New Jersey, Maryland, and West Virginia. The youngest had been 15, the oldest, 23. At first, it had seemed significant that the mother-hater had begun hunting in new territory. But interviews with those who knew Kathy, coupled with the details of her life and disappearance, had turned up not a single fact that suggested anything different about the killer's choice of this victim, nothing that might lead them to him. Exactly where she had disappeared was not known. Her car, a 10-year-old Honda, remained missing. 3 days among the girl's grieving loved ones had left a grayness in Jane's soul and a secondhand sorrow in her heart. The handsome house at the end of the oak-shaded lane faced west, so that by reflection, the burning portion of the sky rouged the clapboard that would be white in daylight. Mercer Gossage, a cousin of Kathy Haskell's mother, Anita, must have heard the suburban approaching. He waited on the porch. A tall, imposing man of 44, country royalty. The 300-acre farm had passed from his grandfather to his father and, just 5 years earlier, to Mercer through his widowed mother's will. He welcomed Gary Burkett and Jane up the porch steps and shook their hands. His smile was sewn through with a sadness, also apparent in his blue eyes, but he seemed naturally cordial and perhaps could not, by his very constitution, imagine introducing himself without a smile, even in solemn situations.
I brewed a fresh pot of coffee. I warn you, it is to Starbucks what grapefruit juice is to Dom Perignon, but you're welcome to it. If you'll just follow me through to the kitchen, we can do this there.
Jane didn't want coffee. In fact, she felt that they were to some small extent surrendering control of the interview by accepting Gossage's hospitality. But before she could decline, Gary said he could use a cup. 4 grandfather clocks stood along the ground floor hallway, pendulums swinging, mechanisms softly clicking away the seconds.
My mother collected antique clocks, Gossage said. Long case clocks like these, but also bracket clocks, carriage clocks, mantel clocks. For the longest time, I thought it was a little batty, but then slowly I began to appreciate the beauty of them. And now I'm just as much a clock nut as she was.
Through archways to the living room and dining room, Jane saw overdone, indeed fussy, Victorian decor and fireplaces that each bore 3 large clocks. Beyond the open door to a study were walls lined with shelves on which stood a small fortune in antique clocks, ornate gilt bronze.